Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View. I'm your not-so-humble host, PK, for Monday evening, February 20th, 2012. Man, it just seems like recently we were saying Happy New Year to each other. This month's almost gone. So anyway, as I always do, I will pay homage and thank the suits in the office at bbsradio.com for promoting free speech and free thought, and I hope a free press as the corollary to those things. And freedom of the press belongs to those who own the press. So I don't have any right to bust into some radio station or newspaper and demand that they print my take on things or my story. And speaking of take on things, that's why I like alternative media and alternative radio, such as BBS Radio, because we, with the alternative media, are able to get information and stories out that the major networks, the corporate Zionist, pro-Israel, neo-fascist, actually, media, the lapdog of the state, the pro-war media, overwhelmingly, won't tell you, or they tell half-truths. They don't fill in all the information. And as I've studied history, especially revisionist history, I see why a lot of things happen. And when they leave out crucial details, well, no wonder there's been reactions against these crucial details, things I never learned in history, which I won't get into now, but there's many things that lead for other things to happen, especially in war or provoking wars. And now the idiotic federal government that's broke, that messes up so many things at home with its taxes and its ridiculous environmental regulations, and it's over-regulating the economy and its drug war and its inflation and its huge debt. So it not only messes up so much at home, but it is doing it abroad also. And what are they trying to do with their Israeli puppet masters? They're so obviously trying to provoke a war with Iran. We have so much trouble here at home, and they want to provoke a war with Iran. Boy, what geniuses. And of course, they're in denial about everything. But, you know, who's going to fight this war? It's going to be the usual poor and lower income whites, the blacks, and the Latins. This is generally who is doing this sort of fighting. And apparently there's even a lot of gang members involved in this that are in the military also. So you're going to probably have that coming out, gang members who learn further how to use other weaponry and kill. So how wonderful is that? But if they pick a fight with Iran, you know, what are they trying to do? Instigate another Gulf of Tonkin lie so that push comes to shove? Perhaps Iran may be forced to retaliate with their ample missile system, and then we're off. Then they'll start a war. Or Israel will go and bomb Iran and expect their rich Uncle Sam to help them out when they actually control U.S. foreign policy, and they control Uncle Sam, and they've got their damn Mossad agents heavily infiltrated in our country. So, you know, this is a problem. So what if Israel attacks Iran? Their puppet Uncle Sam's going to just stand by and not commit troops or more problems. And they won't be able to do this probably just from the air, so they're going to have to send in troops. You know, I don't care for the Iranian government, and neither do most of their people, but this will make it worse, and the people will rally beyond them. And plus, the absolute idiotic, asinine hypocrisy of Israel with their 200 to 300 nukes, which they're in denial of, and they won't sign the non-proliferation treaty. What do they have to worry about? They've got all these nukes. Even if Iran had a nuke, they knew that if they used it against Israel, they would be vaporized. So I know that I've spoken about this before, but it's all relevant. And one has to be consistent and stay on the message, stay on the point. And the point is, we don't need another war. The wars are bankrupting our country. They're sucking valuable, precious capital away from the private sector. that needs it for other consumer goods and consumption, and it's getting so many people killed, filling up the military hospitals with severely wounded, a lot of the brain injuries, just so awful. I can't even watch these commercials for prosthetics and these wounded warriors, these wounded soldiers, because I opposed it from the get-go, all this nonsense. I knew that this would happen. I'm not trying to say I'm laughing after the fact, but I knew what would happen, what they were getting into. And, you know, if our troops had any knowledge, any deep knowledge of history and what's actually going on in geopolitics and world history and world geography, they'd probably thought, you know, they would probably think twice about blindly rushing in to defend the U.S. when they're not actually defending the U.S. They are defending a globalist empire. And those corporate rich fat cats, those corporate socialist, bailed out corporate welfare fat cats. And this is not capitalism. This is statism or mercantilism. So they're just making it worse, marching down the wrong path. And what's the blowback and the repercussions going to be from this? I mean, Iran will have an excuse to do more terrorism if this happens. So I really hope they don't. I hope Obama won't be sucked into this Zionist war. Here we have another war on behalf of Israel, just like Iraq and those kooks in the Israeli Likud party and their neocon buddies in the U.S., Dennis Ross, Paul Wolfowitz, what's that other son of a bitch's name? Richard Pearl, that bastard, Douglas Feith, all these Jewish neocons, most of which probably have and or have had dual U.S.-Israeli passports. And I know of no other country that has sway over U.S. foreign policy and the U.S. like Israel does. And of course, they've kind of constructed their little game so that any criticism, any and all criticism of Israel, Zionism, and Jewish power is automatically labeled anti-Semitism. Well, I got news for the suffering masses. I stand with the anti-Zionist Jews, especially Jews united against Zionism and the Israeli peace movement and Israeli human rights groups. So I'm making a plea that there's no more of these stupid wars in the Middle East. We don't need any more war. This country is hated and disrespected enough around the world, and this is largely comes from Bush's wars, their excuse for 9/11, and now the denial of these pricks and the neocons, like that son of a bitch, Bill Kristol, and his authorship of the Progress, is it Progress for New American Century? Program for New American Century. Is it Program or Progress? The PNAC document that calls for rebuilding Americans' defenses as if our military wasn't even big enough in the late 90s in our global presence. And what they spoke about very clearly in this document, which they've since backed away from, is it clearly states that it would take another Pearl Harbor event to galvanize American public opinion. Well, that's what they got through 9/11, which I believe that they helped enable, and I believe that it was mainly a Mossad operation with probably some renegades from the CIA. Of course, they're pretty much maybe even the same. I've seen it mentioned lately that Mossad and CIA – well, like as if the CIA is Mossad West and Mossad is CIA East. But I don't know if they're interchangeable, but I know they work together. They probably spy on each other. I mean, I know this country knows that Israel spies on us big time. And Mossad agents are deeply embedded into our country, our government, and our military. And so, I mean, this is a problem. The way to fix this is to shut the money off. Shut off all foreign aid, especially to Israel, but all foreign aid because it's unconstitutional. It props up dictators and inefficient state-owned fascistic industries. And it is the taking of taxes and money from lower income Americans and giving it to wealthy people in foreign countries. So cut off all foreign aid. If Americans want to donate to the the charity or the overseas thing of their choice, they can send a check, but they do not need to be have a gun forced at their wallet to take their tax money and give it to an apartheid terrorist apartheid state. Yes, I refer to Israel as a terrorist apartheid state, to take American taxpayers' money and give it to this country, with which in fact the Jewish population is the most wealthy, successful tribe in the world. So they could finance their own little terrorist apartheid state. They don't need American tax dollars. So in other words, Americans are forced unconstitutionally to continue to give foreign aid and an endless supply of free American-made murder weapons to this terrorist apartheid state of Israel. And once again, and nobody's been able to disprove me on this because it's an absolute fact, that the U.S. had no enemies in the Middle East prior to 1948 when Israel was violently imposed on Palestine. And ever since then, it's been one hate-o-rama and a mess, because the fools in the federal government made the very tragic mistake of bailing out Israel, selling them, giving them weapons, you know, and they're like a leech. They're like a bloodsucker on our country. They're like a tick. Ever since then, you know, since the 67 war and the 73 war, giving them more money, more aid, more weaponry, so they can murder and kill their neighbors, the Palestinians, who had nothing to do with the so-called Holocaust and have suffered profusely ever since 1948. No wonder they're pissed off. No wonder they have these reactions. You know, other countries would feel the same way. So this is a problem. And I clearly delineate it here at Third Stream View because I'm not afraid to speak about it. And I'm a fan of Norman Finkelstein. I'm a fan of Brother Kapner. I'm a fan of Gilad Atzmon, who is a former Israeli living in London. He's a jazz musician, a British jazz musician now, and an anti-Zionist, and is very succinct in his criticisms of Israel and Zionism, the Likud party, this mentality of Jewish supremacism and whatnot. And he's got a good book out that's controversial to the Zionist wet-their-pants neocons. It's called The Wandering Who, instead of The Wandering Jew, and it discusses all these types of things. So I may have a guest tonight. I'm trying to reach my guest. I think he might be out there. Andrew, are you out there?
No, I'm not here.
Have you heard me ranting about Zionism?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yes, I have.
Well, you're chuckling. Do you agree with me?
I agree with you for the most part. I wish I knew more, but yeah, it sounds pretty good.
I've been studying it almost 10 years now, and all I see it is shaping up even more so to be this way, the power structure. And the denial, of course, is the immediate crying anti-Semitism, but it's been like the boy who cries wolf. It's getting old. People aren't really buying into it anymore.
Yeah, it seems pretty knee-jerk as far as I can tell.
That's for damn sure.
It seems to be the answer. It's like what's his name? Obama's guy on the Fast and Furious issue. Saying, they're just trying to get after me and Obama.
Attorney General.
We're friends, and because we both happen to be African Americans.
Yes, African Americans who helped slaughter Mexicans, other brown skinned people, with their free American made murder weapons.
Yeah. Authorized by the U.S. government through local gun stores.
If we did that, we'd be in jail, but Uncle Sam gets away with it.
Yeah, that's
Uncle
the
Sam
empire.
Is the biggest criminal in the damn country, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Now, you
it's
spoke
the Roman
earlier
peace all
this
over
week.
Again.
You sent me an earlier emails earlier this week about, are you ready for World War III? What is your take on what's happening here? Did you hear me talking about the instigating and, you know, how they're trying to pick a fight with Iran?
Yeah, what's that all about? Did you see? Was it yesterday or today?
It's so blatant.
Aaron Burnett from MSNBC going off on Iran. I mean, she pretty much laid down every reason that Iran is going to attack the U.S. You know, a lot of hearsay and a lot of possibilities and all these, you know, it could possibly happen that Iran will have sleeper cells in the U.S. They have bombs aimed at us. I'm like, what? Why?
And this was on MSNBC?
MSNBC. Erin Burnett, she's a girl who she's a bubblehead, does announcing for MSNBC on the financial thing, asks questions of different, you know, guests, and she's an ex-Goldman economist.
Is she the blonde?
What's that?
Is she a blonde?
Brown hair.
How old?
Probably 30-ish.
She's not bad looking?
Not bad looking, no.
I think I've seen her. I don't exactly
know. She has
a
wicked, when she asks questions of people she doesn't like, man, does she attack. And if it's somebody who's a shill for the show, she's all buddy-buddy, yeah, hey, don't we all get along great, and yes, we're all on the same page, unless you're somebody like Ron Paul or Peter Schiff or, you know.
So she's with MSNBC and they're saber-rattling?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? The MSM?
Because I thought the left was, you know, a little more standoffish on all this pro-war stuff, but I guess they're not. Same foreign policy.
Again, she's a Goldman person.
Well, she might, I don't know if she's Jewish or not, but she's got the connection to, what, to Goldman, you know, the banking?
Exactly, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, there you go. Rich Zionist power structure.
Yeah, a Keynesian economist, but not, you know, an economist, I guess.
A left-wing Keynesian?
Completely.
Yeah, as opposed to Alice Rivlin and those other idiot right-wing Keynesians.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's what it seems like.
So where does this leave us? I mean, she was banging the drums for war, too?
Yeah, and she had one of the representatives on. Let me see if I can find the article again, because it's kind of creepy. It's not an article, it's a video that you can actually, I can send you a link to it.
A congressional representative?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Jewish?
Hold on, here's his name. His name is, what's the guy's name? CNN's House blockhead, the Goldman-trained ex-finance professional Erin Burnett, came out with a doozy of a broadcast yesterday, a Rumsfeldian jeremiad against the Iranian threat that would fit beautifully in the Saddam's sending drones at New York halcyon days of late 2002. And she has on, who's the other guy she has on? What's this guy's name?
They're usually either Jewish or they are Christian Zionists, you know, and they're this pro-war crowd.
Yeah, I don't know what she is,
especially
if
they're in or sympathetic to the Tea Party. For them to promote more war, that's more debt, more spending.
Oh, yeah.
They rail against China, then they got to borrow from them.
Oh, wonderful. How about that? There has to be a game there. I don't know what that game is, but
it's called debt.
Yeah, well, we need more debt. We need to borrow more money.
Romney's a multimillionaire. That crowd, they're not going to lose anything, but, you know, the poor guys are going to do is fighting.
Yeah. Oh, here it is.
And maybe they deserve to die because the Americans are stupid enough to follow along with this crap and just go die for the emperor.
Well, I have a feeling most people have been brainwashed in public education.
Pardon?
They just follow along.
Well, they don't ever go beyond what they learn in school, it would seem like. They don't do any, personal inquiry or you know, further their own investigation of this all.
Hey, I'm out of school. Why do I have to read any more books? Why am I reading the paper for?
I don't want to read when I was in school.
I got video games. I have to learn how to bomb people from drones. You know, I'm running video games.
That's
right,
those disgusting militaristic video games, you know, programming people or the youth. Hey, maybe I ought to join the army. It's cool. I can shoot some real guns then.
Wow. Good luck with that.
I'm trying to see. Oh, okay, Erin Burnett. Okay, I found her. I'm looking here.
I can send you a link. Well, it's on the. You can find the video. It's a CNN video. Sorry, I thought it was MSN, but she's usually on MSNBC. The question is across the screen: Is Iran planning an attack in America? Why would they do that? And be obliterated right afterwards?
Well, it'll be staged, you know.
Of course, it will be.
Yes, and. I don't see what her. I'm looking at her on Wikipedia here. Daughter of corporate attorney Kenneth Bing Burnett, King Burnett, and Esther Margaret Stewart. She Wow, a Bachelor of Arts in Political Economy. She studied political science and economics. Wow. Engaged to Citigroup executive David Rubalata.
Oh, there you go.
So she's all part of the, elite, the elite system. She's part of
Of
that
course.
whole system. And, these people, they retire later on in life, they got their money in their books, and they serve the regime. They're just puppets for the New World Order. Willing,
Completely.
very willing, willingly, if you will.
Willingly. It's how they get paid. They maintain their paychecks, they maintain their influence, they maintain their positions by going along. You go along to get along.
Not me, not Ron Paul.
Not Ron Paul. But it's looking kind of tough for Ron Paul. I like what he's doing. I like everything. I'm all for it, but I don't know how he's going to get the nomination with these nutcases on
Supposedly,
the other side of the fence.
if not stealthily, they're supposedly getting a lot of delegates. It doesn't get much press,
Oh,
but they're getting.
I know. It's almost a complete blackout. There's silence on it.
Now, I
It's
haven't
all
heard
played
anything.
down.
Also, today was supposed to be the March on Washington Day from Veterans for Ron Paul. So I wonder if the media ignored that or if they will talk about it at all.
I'm sure they'll ignore it as much as possible. Well, look to YouTube. You'll find it there.
That's true. So I was looking here at the at Lou Rockwell. .com. I don't see anything on it yet.
Oh,
Although I
go
do see a
to.
funny title. It says C-SPAN callers smack down Homeland Security stooge. One of the titles. I love that. So yeah,
That's
those
hilarious.
C-SPAN callers, sometimes they're right on the money. And I hear these middle class, sometimes I heard these middle class sound like blue collar guys saying, "No more wars for Israel. Let them, we've been jewed into another war. We're tired of this." So there is some pockets of sense out there, or a little wisdom here and there, and in quarters where you might not think you'd find it.
Yeah. I have a feeling there's a lot more than we know, but it's just not, you never hear of it in the mainstream media. It's like it doesn't exist if you watch TV. Or if you listen to anything on the radio, if you listen to the usual stooges like the big bubble head, which I'm
Well,
forgetting his name right now.
they don't want people. They want people dumbed down. They don't need.
Yeah.
They don't want them to know things. They want to keep them, pacified with sports and video games.
Yeah, don't think too much. Come on here, we'll send you a check.
That's true. That's
Stay at
true.
home. Don't do anything. We'll get
I
you a job
know.
later.
It's awful. And meanwhile, people are gonna, be dying and more bankruptcies and serving this military industrial complex where it just needs, rapaciously feeding off the tax trough, expanding foreign policy to include more wars, getting more involved with things we don't need.
Yeah, where's it all headed?
Well, back to your thing about World War III. Do you think they're going to provoke this? Do you think it's going to happen this year?
Well, whether it happens this year, I think this is the setup. As you look back through history, the setup is the government's in debt. You see what's going on, but what's not seen as in economics? The seen and then there's the unseen. What's going on behind the scenes? What
Sound
are they
like
trying to
Bastia
cover
now?
up? They're trying to cover up their massive debts that will never be paid. As Hungary is headed towards possible, repudiation of the debts or default because they're like, we can't pay it. We don't have the money. Greece, it's just a matter of time. There's word in the grapevine, or it's kind of implied, or there is information out there from insiders that Greece, there's going to be a planned default, but they're going to try and make it not look like a default. And it's supposed to come around March 23rd or something. But there's no corroborating evidence yet, but the word is so strong that it's being passed around the internet now. And that's just a matter of time. That's going to, what's really going to happen is all those CDSs are going to come due, but they'll cover it up. It'll be papered over with more paper, currency. But it's all going to come down. The debt is just weighing down on Western civilization. It's crushing everyone.
So
And
what'll
eventually it's
happen?
either going to
You
have to be
think
defaulted on or it's going to be have to pay it off.
What, Greece will collapse, and then there'll be a chain reaction to the other country?
What's that? I'm sorry?
You think so? Greece will collapse, and then will there be a chain reaction with Italy and Spain and Portugal? Or
possibly. Nobody knows for sure, but it all depends on what's allowed to be shown in the public eye. I mean, it's happened already. There's been a default in Greece. It just hasn't been called that. They haven't admitted to it.
Well, there's sure a lot of riots if they haven't.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you don't see the mainstream media isn't covering what's really going on in Greece. From what I understand, it's really bad there.
What do you mean? More protests, more fires, and more?
More protests, more violence. Unemployment rate is much higher than anyone would admit. The black market is alive and well. You know, that's the only way people can survive at this point.
Well, their the black amount of businesses, become their free market.
Like 25% of the private businesses in the last year have closed.
How many?
25%.
Wow.
That's
huge.
What
they do, they take that bailout money. They're just going to maintain current consumption. They're not doing anything differently with it.
But the bailout money's not going to the people. It's going to the banks.
Well, even
the
if it went
money
to
goes
the people,
to the government, and they pay it back to the banks where they owe it.
But even if it went to the people, what good would that be necessarily? Because it's going to run out. They're going to maintain current consumption. They're not going to invest more and grow more.
No. It'll go straight into the black market to buy things off market to get a better deal to make the money go further.
Well, I don't know about that. It's going to pay more government salaries and prop up
inefficient,
overpaid, you know, public sector.
That's the public sector.
You know, it's very socialistic.
And then they'll still go to the black market to buy their products. Yeah.
The socialists took power after the military relinquished power, and you know the socialists probably made it worse. They spent a lot more.
Well, they blow a lot more, I should say. They don't spend it; they throw it away.
Well, that's the first thing the commies did after they took over in Russia. They taxed away all the wealth. They spent all the wealth, whatever surpluses were. It's all gone.
Yeah.
That's what they do. The conservatives really aren't much better. If you look at what they've done, I still believe what Rand said. You know, the difference between conservatives and liberals is that liberals bring socialism at a slightly slower pace. And I think that both parties basically agree on everything except how much to spend.
Or what to spend it on.
Yeah, well, you know, the conservatives, Republicans, they're going to steer it towards the military.
Yeah, military war, overseas conquest, because they can't run conquest within the country. So they have to direct the military outside. You know, it's like Richard Mayberry said. He said, you know, when a politician claws his way to the top, he suddenly has all this power. Who isn't going to want to use it when they get there? And there's a certain mindset to the person who wants to get there. They're a sociopath. You know, they want power over all things. So they finally have control of the military. They want to bomb somebody. They want to, you know, destroy something. It's in their nature. Why else
they
fight for all that power?
However, Ron Paul and the mighty PK aren't into power for power's sake.
No, Ron Paul
the power to deregulate, or PK would like to be a reverse dictator, peeling away layers and layers of useless legislation.
Boy, wouldn't that be a nice change.
Brought to you by so many lawyers, because probably half the politicians and bureaucrats are lawyers. Romney's a lawyer.
Yeah.
Santorum's a lawyer. Obama. Yeah. Both Obamas, both Clintons. W wouldn't. But I like the way the Republicans are handling what this crowd. They like, whenever anybody calls in and blames Bush, oh, God, okay, here we go again, blame Bush. You know, he hasn't been in office for so many years. That's true. But Bush did start this. He's the Hoover. Obama's the FDR. Bush started with the TARP and the $700 billion bailout. No Child Left Behind. Massive billions for that. Massive billions in unfunded, the $750 billion prescription drug plan. The Homeownership Society. He really started this going. And Obama took it at a faster pace.
Oh, yeah. And yet he was going to cut the debt in half by the end of his first term.
Yeah.
How did that work out?
Problems, unforeseen problems got in the way. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just a mess. It's, you know, and it's getting worse. They're trying to say the economy is getting better and business is hiring more. I think it's a facade.
Think so. no business person I've talked to, no business owner I've talked to says they're hiring more. They're just trying to stay alive. They're just trying to stay afloat. And maybe it might be a huge corporation like GM that's getting a huge bailout, and who's getting all the money are the union members.
Right.
They're getting those nice bonuses this year when the bondholders got chopped and the stockholders got raped.
That's the American way.
Yeah. On average, they say each GM employee will get a $7,000 bonus this year because GM sold so many cars last year, and yet they haven't paid back the debt.
I thought they paid back some of it with the money they already got from the state. The central state, that is. Wow.
And the stockholders, the stock was $30 back when they got the bailout. Now it's at like $23. So, as far as I can tell, that money
just went to union members. Plus, some of the things I've read or seen, and that is that Ron Paul is the only Republican who can beat Obama. And now they're talking about. I heard if Romney doesn't win in his home state, Michigan, you know, it spells kind of gloom for him. And the GOP may be looking for some other candidate to come in. And here's names that were thrown up. Chris Christie.
Oh, no.
And Rich Daniels from Indiana's governor. And Jeb Bush.
Jeb. Is that Jebediah Bush?
That would be definite disaster because myself and most of the country are sick of the Bushes. We don't want any more Bushes.
Yeah.
It's as if they want Obama to win, because if Obama wins, he'll continue a large military, all this kind of stuff. You know, he's a neocon. There are neocons in the Democratic Party. That Erin Burnett bitch, you know, she's one of them.
Of course she is.
Hillary Clinton's a neocon. Boy, is she warlike, huh?
Oh, my gosh. She's got a bitter pill. She's a piece of work. I don't know what else to say about her.
Well, she's part of the pro-war crowd, you know.
She's a big government junkie, as she admitted herself. She's a Marxist-Leninist.
Well, I think that she is.
How could she be anything other than a neocon and a warmonger?
Other than that's what she is.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And now she has the levers of power.
Marxist-Leninist, you believe in violent overthrow of people. There you go.
Yeah, well, you know, she's got the reins of power now.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's part of the ball game. It's how it goes.
Definitely. What was the thing? I was just reading something about her. Oh, where is it? It disappeared. Let me see if I can find it again.
About Hillary?
Talking about the Russo-Chinese veto of the UN Security Council's resolution against Syria.
I was proud of that one.
Yeah, but Uncle Sam's Secretary of State and her British equivalent were so upset that the big bad Ruskies and the tricky Fu Manchus could veto a resolution against the world's worst man ever. They were freaking out about that. It's like I'm reading this from an article. From some guy named Taki on a website called Taki Mag.
I think I've heard of that.
I thought that was an interesting way of putting that. You know, those bad Ruskies and the Fu Manchus. How could they go against such upholding and fine citizens as God's chosen ones?
The chosen. That's right. they wrote the Bible and enshrined themselves as the chosen people. Yet, I would say the majority of Jews are atheists.
Yeah, they're either
secular and or atheistic and or agnostic. They practice their religion as a tradition.
Yeah. I mean, many of the Jewish people I know, they either are non-practicing, or they have recently gone back to the temple to learn more about their history, their religion. But, to be dedicated and devoted to it, no.
Well, you mentioned the temple. Speaking of the temple, Did you know that Lincoln was Jewish?
No. How did you know
that? He was shot in the temple.
No. Don't. Except a little, a few years too late.
Exactly. It's too bad he wasn't shot a lot sooner. And also, this other bastard, Alexander Hamilton, it's too bad he wasn't whacked in about, 1780 or 1790, just shot down.
Yeah. Hey, did you know that the original Lincoln Memorial, the statue of Lincoln, at each hand and in front of the chair, there were two fascist symbols there?
They're not
but
there
they're
anymore.
They're not there anymore.
Since when?
Since sometime in the 20s, they were taken down.
Really?
Yeah. If you see old pictures of it, there they are. They're the fascies right there.
Yeah, the bundles, the stick bundled?
The stick bundles with the axe. The people are all as one, or they'll be put to the axe.
Huh.
It's enforced by the axe, sorry.
Which I is, knew which those is, were there. I thought they were still part of
Pax
it.
Romana.
I thought they were still part of it. I didn't know that they took those down.
No, I don't. If you look at pictures now, they're not there anymore.
Wow.
In fact,
and they were part of the stone statue, right?
Yeah.
Weren't they built into the statue? The concrete was, wasn't it part
you know
of
he sits
the statue?
At the chair and where his hands are on the arms of the chair. They were right at his in front of his hands, on the front of the chair. They were built into it.
Right, right. So what, they sanded those off?
Let me see. I'm going to pull up a picture of it right now.
Because I remember seeing that.
Maybe they are
that.
Still there. This picture still shows them. I think they just used to be more definite. Because like in this picture, you see the bundles of the sticks, but you don't see the axe. I think maybe the axe was taken away.
Wow.
Yeah, there we are. Fascism, it's still there.
Wow.
And that's what Lincoln brought to our country.
The war brought a lot worse than that.
What's that?
It was worse than that. Did you ever see the movie, it was about 8 years ago or so, Gangs of New York?
Yes, I did.
Which I actually liked. And one thing I noticed was, show the immigrants coming. The Irish would come, immigrate. All right, welcome to America. Now the next table, now you got it. You're conscripted.
Yeah, straight into the military.
Straight into the military.
Yeah, that's what happened to my great-great-grandfather. He came
Wasn't
over.
Wasn't he in Andersonville?
What's that?
Wasn't he in Andersonville?
So I've heard, yeah. He was taken as a prisoner of war and supposedly spent some time. I don't have any documentation on it. I've tried to find it, but no luck there. So he spent some time in Andersonville until the end of the war, and he was released.
Wow.
But,
he
was
survived,
right off the boat.
He survived, huh?
Survived. Barely, I guess. But,
wow.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to America. Oh, by the way, you may be killed soon. Hey, great to be here. Land of the free.
Welcome to America. Now, get in this line here. Get your uniform.
Get a gun. We're headed
south. Get a gun. And go kill you some fellow Americans in the South.
Yeah, I'm going to go kill those not tax-abiding citizens, those ones who don't like to pay taxes.
Well, there was some important scenes also in the movie The Gangs of New York, and it showed the riots in New York City and the blacks being not really lynched, but they were killed or hunted down because they were New Yorkers were angry about the blacks, about the war supposedly to end slavery. So it showed the blacks under attack in New York City, which did happen. There were race riots.
Sure.
During the war.
According to Thomas DiLorenzo in his books, he says that there was slavery in the North just as well as the South.
That's
true.
It
wasn't just confined to the South.
And Boston was one of the biggest slave trading centers or epicenters.
Yeah. So, it lends a lot of credence to the fiction that the Civil War was about slavery.
Well, that rose to the top. Look what happened with the idiot Bush in Iraq. They were saying it was to destroy find weapons of mass destruction. Then it was to bring democracy. I mean, it kept changing whatever the so-called mission was.
It's always that democracy call. That's like something straight out of Star Wars.
But I don't believe in democracy. I have a very narrow understanding of democracy. it is my understanding of my belief in democracy is the peaceful way which we elect our leaders, but what the rules are is more important than who the leaders are. And secondly, the democracy, the marketplace where every penny is a vote. But as far as mass democracy, I mean, I've said this to, you know, some liberals or progressives who are, you know, very pro-democracy. I said, well, would you put your rights up to a vote? And they don't like that. They wouldn't
put
their rights.
Wow, that's for sure.
You know,
and yet your rights are voted away every day.
Put your rights up to a vote.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't go over with them very well.
No, I mean, if most Americans understood that democracy means that your rights can be voted away, they might think twice about it.
But now, here's something. I'm starting to see Lou Rockwell's face more on news things. He's on Russia Today. And you know that Judge Napolitano's show got canceled.
No.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. I know
and,
Pat Robertson.
And who were two
Pat
of his
Robertson
latest guests?
Blacklisted from MSNBC.
Two of his latest guests were Lou Rockwell and Jacob Hornberger from the Foundation for Economic Freedom. I think so it was. His two latest guests, you know, just slamming the state as Judge Napolitano does. So, yes, his show has been ended. And I'm sure it's because of how much he got away with so far, and it finally came down on him.
Yeah, they can't stand dissenting opinions. I mean, there's only one side of the story.
Well, he talks about the Constitution a lot, you know, which the neocons only like it when it suits their aims.
Of course. Of course. And they say there's freedom of the press. Come on.
Well, yeah, it's very narrow. You know, like Thomas Wood says, you have the right to debate about as much in the difference between Mitt Romney and Hillary Clinton. You have that sliver to show your, you know, your
I can't tell much of a difference. I mean, if you just change their wigs around, it won't be much of a difference.
Well, the wigs were awful. Henry Clay was a wig. Henry Clay was Lincoln's, model.
Yeah.
And that's the tragic legacy of Hamilton. That son of a bitch in his pro central bank, pro having the president as a president for life, wanting to be able to veto over the governors. I mean, you know, complete centralization of power. That was Hamilton. I don't know if you've read Hamilton's Curse, but every page makes me angrier than the next page.
No, I haven't read that one yet.
So you'll see what his legacy was, and it's just a shame Aaron Burr or somebody else didn't whack him, you know, 20 years earlier. You know, Hamilton gets all this great credit, like he's, you know, he helped set up the monetary system, and, you know, was great for the American industry, and, you know, he was a protectionist. He would have been a bailout corporate welfare, corporate socialist, or corporate fascist, Mussolini corporatist.
Yeah, another elitist.
Yeah.
You know, we're all equal as long as we're more equal than you are. We'd like everybody to be free, but not as free as we are.
Yeah, mercantilism.
True. Yeah.
Hamiltonian legacy. Unfortunately, the Hamiltonians pretty much won out over the Jeffersonians, and you see the result of the mess today.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it Rand who used to say everybody wants more freedom for themselves and less for any, or something like that? How is it? Everybody wants freedom for themselves but none for anyone else?
Something like that. And she's probably not the only one to have said it, but you were indirectly quoting Bastiat earlier when you were talking about was it Live Off?
The Seen and the Unseen.
The Seen and the Unseen, yes, like the broken window fallacy.
Yeah.
Bastiat is very relevant even to today. I read his book, The Law, like 20 years ago, and he was just as important and accurate then as he would have been today. And Law was written in 1849 or 1850.
Coming from a Frenchman visiting America.
That was de Tocqueville.
De Tocqueville. But Bastiat was also French, wasn't he?
Yes, but I don't believe he visited America. And he was, I think, younger before de Tocqueville. I think de Tocqueville was older. De Tocqueville, I think it was published in 1840 or something called. I haven't read it. I've read excerpts from it. It was called Democracy in America. And as a Frenchman, it was his observation about American politics and the society and all this. And I think overall it was pretty favorable. But that was before the huge growth of the state.
Yeah, that was before, exactly. before the Civil War.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I was confusing the two.
The War of Northern Aggression.
Southern Secession.
That's right. And this is, you know, a growing problem. So I don't, you know, more militarization, the police more military. I just saw where some sleepy town in Vermont or New Hampshire that's only had about two murders since 1990, they got this big military vehicle, not like a SWAT kind of vehicle, and some of the locals are outraged by it.
They should be.
The police are welcomely accepting this stuff, the bastards.
Yeah.
Well, now, a lot of the police are ex-military, but here's the funny rub about this. Now, I saw a brief news blurb about 2 weeks ago how they're training police to deal with ex-military who are committing crimes or, you know, like police standoffs or really know how to handle weapons, how to deal with them now.
Yeah. And there's several stories going around over the last 6 months to a year of ex-military coming home, finally glad to be home with their families, and being shot by the police. And not only that, provoking them in any way.
Yeah, not only that, but coming home with their awful, what do they call that, shell shock, their stress, their... That term for their...
Stress
mental
syndrome.
Pardon?
The stress, it's stress syndrome. It's post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, I think post-traumatic stress disorder. I thought it was more of a military term about the weaponry or something, but... Oh, yeah, it's awful. A lot of guys have that, you know? All of a sudden, you come home from an environment like that, and, you know, you come home from the mountains of Afghanistan, and you're in your home state of Virginia or Illinois, and what a cultural change that is, what a shock that is.
Yeah, you're happy to be home. I made it out. I'm still alive, and damn, I just got shot.
If you heard a muffler explode or something, you think bombs are going off around you again. You're you know, gun-shy about it.
Yeah.
You know, plus, like I like to say, as far as more war, these idiots in America don't get it, especially the regular working class and the blue collar, who are often eager to fight these stupid wars for the rich, is that military suicides are at an all-time high, as are military spousal abuse and military divorce.
And yet these are things you don't see in the mainstream media. You don't hear about them.
Not much, but you hear about them here on Third Stream View, because I cut to the chase.
Or if you check, you know, online news sources or you know, fringe outside the mainstream, you find all this stuff out. But if you listen to them, you think, wow, people just come home and they go back to their normal life and everything's great.
Well, didn't Frank Zappa say America drinks and goes home?
Yeah, America drinks and goes marching.
Marching?
Yeah. I think that was his saying.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, drinks beer and goes marching, I should say.
Drinks beer and goes marching?
Yeah. Now, it was known as the Danish were the ones who had a drink and went home during war. They'd say, we don't want to go to war. They put their hands up and said, we're just going to have a drink and go home.
Really?
Yeah. He was referring to the beer-drinking redneck class that would drink a lot and go marching and protest, you know, while they're all drunk out of their heads.
I thought you meant marching like into war.
No. Marching, protesting, you know, screaming about this and that.
Oh, okay. Because we just spoke, I was trying to think of something about Republicans. There is a Zappa quote on Republicans. I don't know if you ever heard it.
Oh, boy.
I'm trying to find it here. It's pretty funny the way he referred to them. I'm trying to look it up. He had some very clever things. He had some very clever things to say about many things. Well, he's like Rock's intellectual.
Yeah. Probably the only one, in fact, except for maybe Henry Rollins.
Definitely not Sting.
He's a socialist.
A rich socialist.
Yeah, extremely rich. Let's see, I got my Frank Zappa magazine here in front of me.
Here. Oh, yeah, America drinks and goes home.
Did you know, here's a little trivia about Frank Zappa. Did you know that if it wasn't for Frank Zappa, The Simpsons wouldn't be on the air?
Why is that?
Because Matt Groening was drawing this cartoon at the time, and he was happened to be friends with Frank, and he said, you know, I don't know if it's any good. I think I'm just going to forget it. Because no, keep doing it. It's good. Just get it out there. And now it's the most successful TV show of all time. And it's a cartoon.
That's the most successful TV show?
Been on for over 20 years. What is it? Like, I think it just celebrated its 25th year.
Has it been on that long?
Yeah, since the late 80s.
The Simpsons?
Yes.
I know it was on in 1990.
Yeah, 25 years now.
Has it been that long?
It started out as just a little side thing on one of the other comedy shows, which I can't remember what it was. You know, little clips here, little clips there, and then it had its own time slot.
Yeah, I don't remember it being on that long. I don't watch it much. I don't really watch it, but I don't dislike it. I think it's pretty funny. I thought the movie was pretty crazy. I heard swear words I never heard of or invented, it seemed like. I like that Blame Canada thing.
Yeah. You know. I guess Matt Groening, you know, the opening sequence where Homer's leaving work and there's a little rod of, you know, nuclear fuel falls down the back of his shirt and he grabs it and throws it out.
Right.
It went on for quite a while until he got some grief from the nuclear power industry. And they asked him to stop it, but it stayed in.
Here's my Zappa quote I was looking for.
Okay.
Republicans stand for raw, unbridled, evil and greed and ignorance smothered in balloons and ribbons.
Frank Zappa. Yeah, and bunting. Balloons and bunting.
I think that came out of his book. And a friend of mine wrote, I believe the quote continues, and the only thing Democrats stand for is, I want to be a Republican.
Well, that's a neocon.
Well, the Democrats, they're the party of big government. They're the party of big corporations and bailouts. They're the party of Wall Street.
They're the party of world wars and world domination. Are you kidding me?
Well,
who was in power when we got into World War One?
They're both the same.
Who was in power when we got into World War Two?
They're both the same, but more so.
Yeah.
Democrats get away with it because people think, oh, they're the man of the people. They care more about the downtrodden than this and that.
Yeah,
and you know, they really don't.
They pretend to.
You know,
it's all talk.
It's too bad that Obama, as a Democrat, went down a different path. He would have been loved if he would have cut spending and ended the wars and brought more of a market economy. So I'm not very optimistic about the future. I don't know. I don't see where it's going. I don't see the employment getting better. I don't see a lot of these jobs coming back. I see it just getting worse.
I do too.
Before it gets better.
I see inflation kicking in. I see that getting much worse. I see. The unemployment hasn't gotten any better. It's touted by Obama as have gotten better, but those are just people who fell off the unemployment rolls.
Right, but isn't the unemployment rate, aren't there more like, you know, 25 million people unemployed? Isn't the real unemployment rate more like 15-20%?
According to how they would figure unemployment back in 1980, it should be about 22.2% unemployment.
That sounds more like it.
Yeah. That includes all the people who are either out of work, who aren't looking for work anymore, the ones who have fallen off the unemployment rolls because they are no longer eligible, the people who are, you know, underemployed because, you know, they make just enough to scrape by, but they'd rather work more, but they can't because they can't find any more work. It's the whole gamut. Whereas the unemployment rate that they say is, what, 8.2%? That's only the people who are actually on the unemployment rolls. Still eligible to collect some kind of unemployment benefit.
It's such a joke.
Yeah. So the unemployment rate's much higher.
Like, I'm fine.
Just check out John Williams' shadow stats. you get all the corrections of all the government statistics from him.
As I'm fond of saying, or quoting myself, if I was running the show, probably you'd have had a sharp, painful recession for about 6 months. I wouldn't have bailed out anybody. I wouldn't have extended the wars, but I would have tried to go for a very small corporate tax, like a 2%, So that way the liberals wouldn't completely wet their pants. Companies would pay some taxes. But combined with that, though, there would be no corporate welfare. There'd be no bailouts. There'd be no protectionism. There'd be no political privilege. But they'd pay a 2% tax.
But how would you get reelected?
Well, I wouldn't, first of all, I wouldn't go there to be reelected. I wouldn't be driven by that. I'd be driven by trying to do the right thing, vetoing, going to the people and saying, this is what needs to be, da 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 da. That's what my modus operandi would be.
But what kind of a politician would that make you?
Well, I really wouldn't be a politician. I would be a statesman, not a statist. I'd be an administrator.
I see. What would Bubus Americanus make of that?
Well, they wouldn't understand it, but hopefully the blue-collar folks and the country folks would say, well, that Italian president, he must know what he's talking about. I didn't trust him at first, but he seems to know what needs fixing.
But, PK, how would you deal with all of the negative press you'd be getting about how you're trying to throw poor senior citizens out in the street and starve them and make them eat cat food every day?
Good question. I would confront them head on. First of all, I wouldn't want to throw anybody out in the street. I'm a gradualist. I'm going to say, look, we got to change this system. It's going to just go bankrupt and eat itself right up. So, you know, let's fix it. And here's how to do it gradually. You know, we cut the young people loose, first of all, you know, and then, you know, we...
Anyone who wants to opt out can opt out.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with that.
And also we'd have to reform Medicare and Medicaid, but gradually. I don't want riots. I don't want to throw any people out. And we'd take a lot of it, like Ron Paul says, well, I'd bring all the troops home. I would, you know, drastically cut the military.
There's trillions right there.
Even though the clowns like to say, oh, you know, we spend so much on defense already to make it sound like any cutback's going to, what's going to happen to our country? It's such BS
yeah.
The way they try to frame all this.
They want to shut down the military. We'll be completely vulnerable. Everyone will attack us.
Yeah. Who wants to attack us?
Why would they want to attack us?
Nobody wants to attack us except the terrorists who do it because the U.S. federal government keeps sticking a stick in their eye, and that's why there's a blowback.
Yeah, putting a stick in the hornet's nest.
And, you know, they talk about China. Oh, China's got an aircraft carrier. So what they're in their own, you know, the China seas, what the U.S. have to be doing over there with the Fifth Fleet messing around, intervening in other people's business?
Yeah, they aren't cruising around in U.S. waters like the U.S. military was, that U.S. Navy was just before Japan attacked Pearl Harbor.
Well, and also like Vietnam, they were conducting pinpricking raids into North Vietnam. They were doing all this stuff to instigate North Vietnam. That's what the Navy was doing, the federal government in 64 when you had the Gulf of Tonkin problem. So, you know, this stuff goes way back. It's not, you know, things happen for a reason.
Yeah. There's nothing new right now.
No, and the globalists of the day.
It's not new. It's the same old story being replayed.
The globalists of the day, they're the ones that tweak these wars or set these conditions up like this. They're the ones that they're behind this kind of stuff that gets it going like this. They're the instigators. You know, they're the ones behind the scenes that are doing this. And then, you know, Mr. Blue Collar goes out there and gets his butt killed for these clowns.
Well, he needs to start thinking a little more, Mr. Blue Collar.
You know, now if we weren't, one of my friend's kids said to me once that he wanted to join the military. I said, man, don't do it. I said, and he's not even from a, you know, pretty fairly middle-class family, not of want for much. And I said to him, man, if this wasn't wartime, if you want an adventure and you want to serve in the military, I said, you should join the British Army or the Legion, the French Foreign Legion.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you know much about them?
Only a few things, not a whole lot, no. I just know that they get thrown into every bad situation there can be thrown into.
Well, they're,
they
you
sign
know,
on the dotted line, sign their life away for a couple of years.
People make fun of the French, but the Legion, that's one of the best fighting forces in the world.
It's true. There's no running away.
So only about 8,000 of them. And
yeah.
So apparently they do more background checks nowadays, but to serve in the Legion, man, you got to be great. And they train, you know, a lot, ridiculously, the way they train. And it used to be just foreigners, but now it isn't. And then the French wanted to put their own unemployed or this and that, give them a place to get the less desirables to go. and, of course, to fight in France's overseas wars. But the Legion is a great fighting force, and, you know, they make fun of the French, the stupid things like cheese-eating surrender monkeys. Well, they were smart enough not to get involved in this stupid Iraq-Afghanistan wars, but or maybe they were in Afghanistan, but not, I don't think, in Iraq. But the Legion is a very good fighting force, very powerful, you know, for their size, and very well trained. So it's interesting, you know. But I just hope we're not headed towards World War III. I mean, you spoke of it, and
it's just, you know, I read a lot of financial newsletters and things, and the economics are falling into line with historical norms.
And, I know.
You know, this saber rattling with Iran. They're, you know, they're saying Iraq was one thing. They'd had 10 years of sanctions. They were pretty vulnerable. Iran isn't. I mean, it's a country, what, 65-70 million people. They have a military. They have weapons. They, you know, they can defend themselves.
That's true. What they don't have much of is, I think they only have one refinery. So
oil
getting
refinery?
Petrol would be a problem.
Yeah, but you know, the Chinese are willing to buy up all the extra, as well as the Russians.
But they only have one refinery. They don't have enough gas. You know, they don't have enough gas to you know, supply their military vehicles, probably. But China and or Russia would probably get involved if the U.S. attacks, possibly, or they would come to Iran's aid. I think China and Russia ought to sell Iran the best surface-to-air missile systems they can buy, and as many as they want. So when those Israeli planes come over, they'll have a porcupine hedge of the state-of-the-art surface-to-air missiles. Why spend money on an Air Force? That's expensive, hard to maintain. You get a very high-tech missile system.
That's old-time war systems. I mean, those are obsolete now.
And they've got those ocean-skimming missiles, too. You know, I don't care how much technology the U.S. has with their missile interceptors and whatnot. It only takes one to get through. So, a $1.5 million missile can take out a $4 billion ship.
Heck, a $5,000 speedboat with a bunch of bombs on the front of it can take out a huge ship.
Well,
that's,
if it can
get
close.
That's one of the other techniques. They could send out 200 or 300 of these speedboats. All it takes is one to get through.
Yeah, I mean, those are probably more easily shot, but not a missile.
Sure. Probably, you know, if they hit it with an EMF, like electronic pulse, you know, they'd have those weapons now.
Well, I've also heard that that's a theory for 9/11. Besides thermite, that there was electronic, some sort of power source that was done to help bring those towers down. Combination
of
things.
I never heard that one.
Yeah, diverted energy or something like that. This other kind of stuff. And the planes could have been radio remotely controlled, flown into the buildings.
Easily.
Yes, the planes hit the buildings, but the planes alone didn't take the buildings down.
No.
I mean, they were too perfectly done the way they came down. And, you know, like the month before, there was Israelis ran the security there, I believe, or Israeli firms. And I think the month before 9/11, they were doing repair work in the buildings, and the power was shut off, and the cameras, and this and that. So that had been their wedge to get in there to do this. But I would bet your life on it that Mossad had the lion's share of this doing.
Don't bet my life on it.
Yeah. Well, I'm so sure of it. That's what but anyway,
sure,
well, I hope we don't have World War III coming at us. I know you mentioned it.
I hope so, too.
Even if we don't go fight in it, the repercussions are going to be awful. We don't need it. We don't need We don't need our oil supplies disrupted, even though most of our oil, you know, we only get less than, 15% from the Middle East. But it's just going to mess everything up. Europe doesn't want it. So, you know, leave it to Uncle Sam and Israel to screw things up, and boy, they will.
Boy, won't they.
But on this show with TK on Third Stream View here, we talk about it. I'm not afraid to talk about it like the other networks, and I don't dance around it. So, and with that, Andy, thanks for coming back on the show. Let's hope we don't have a World War III. Let's hope so.
Well, and gold's showing pretty good, so, trust in gold.
Yeah, well, if they blow the world up, the gold ain't going to do much.
It won't go anywhere. It won't be burned up in a fire.
There you have it. So, and with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wind down here now. This is your mighty host, PK, here at Third Stream View, coming to you every Monday evening on bbsradio.com, station number 2, 855 Pacific, 1055 Central, and 1155 Eastern. So, my friends, until next week, this is your humble host, PK, saying good night. And thank you.